With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door that our Lord allows us day after day to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning again to the book of 1 John, chapter number 5, and we're continuing our study on the subject, Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 9, the Bible said, if we have received the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's reading 1 John chapter 5, verse number 9, down through verse number 12. We began our study on Monday on Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I pointed out to you that the Bible tells us that this is God's record. And God's record reveals that Christ Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And then I pointed out to you from the scripture here that what you think and what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will determine your eternal destiny. The Bible said in verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ will determine your eternal destination. Your rejection will send you to hell, and your reception of the Lord Jesus Christ will save you by the grace of God and then take you to heaven when this life is over. Then on yesterday, I went back and we looked at his pre-incarnate existence or his eternal existence. And I pointed out to you from the Word of God several passages of Scripture that revealed to us that Christ was alive before he was born. He was God in the beginning and with God in the beginning. In fact, if you study Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God. And the word there for God is a plural Hebrew word. You come on down, and the Bible said in the last part of verse number 2, that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So there you have God the Spirit, and then you find God the Word. The Bible said, and God said. So you have God the Father, God the Word, or the Son, and God the Holy Ghost there in the beginning. The Bible said again in John chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse number 2, the Bible said the same was in the beginning with God. And then he said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then we see here that Christ was in the beginning with God. Then notice again in John 17, verse number 5, our Lord is praying to the Father, and he said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So you see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in perfect unity and in perfect communion before the world was. And then you find again in John chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And again you'll find in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, where the Bible said, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Again the angel is speaking here of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said again in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, verse 16 and 17, for by him, speaking of Christ, all things were created. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Then we found in John chapter 1, verse number 14, where the Bible said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here we learn that that part of the Godhead that was made flesh is identified in John 1:1 as the Word. And so that Word was Christ. When I read that in that sense, I would read it to say, in the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Christ, and without Christ was not anything made that was made. Now, I've taken quite a bit of time in review of that study, but that is a very necessary study and very needful that we understand the pre-incarnate ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. His eternal existence never had a beginning, and it will never have an ending. His earthly existence had a beginning, and it had an ending. But friend, he is more than just a human being. He is the God-man, as much God as though he were not man, and yet as much man as though he were not God. So I'm saying to you, Bible evidences, we are not speaking about a man who had a beginning with a birth and an ending with a death. No, Jesus Christ was alive before he was born, and he was alive after he died, and he still lives, sitting today at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. But in his pre-incarnate life and in his eternal existence, he was there in the beginning with the Father and the Holy Ghost, and he was the Creator, and by him the entire creation is held intact even to this day. But now that I move on, we see not only his eternal existence, but I want to spend some time looking at his earthly existence and point out to you from the Word of God how that his earthly existence manifests that he is unique, he is different from all other, and all of these give us Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let me say to you, first of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ was unique in his supernatural birth. Now, I submit to you, there has never been a person born as the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And when I use the word born, I'm speaking of his conception and the entire operation of his birth. You see, God put Adam upon this earth without the aid of a man or a woman. And then God put Eve upon this earth with the aid of a man, but without the aid of a woman. And every person since Adam and Eve have come to this planet earth by means of the birth which involved both a man and a woman. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, He uses a virgin, a woman that has never known a man. And he does not use Joseph to father his son, but the Holy Ghost comes upon her, and the conception takes place, a miraculous conception. And we're going to look at this supernatural birth that gives us evidence this is not a normal person, but a supernatural, a unique person. I realize the virgin birth of Christ has long been a subject of debate, but the scriptures are very clear on this subject. If one will simply believe the word of God, it will dissolve all doubts as to whether Christ was supernaturally born or not. Let me just mention, without going into a lot of detail, that his birth was prophesied to be supernatural in Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse number 14, where the word of God said, "Behold, I show you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son." Now, I realize that a lot of the perverted Bibles would change that to a young lady. And a lot of the liberal theologians would say it doesn't matter, it's a young lady. But I want to tell you, the word of God said it was a virgin. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God prophesied that some 700 years before Christ was born. Now, you say, "Preacher, why is it of necessity that he be virgin born, or virgin in his conception?" And I'll deal with that as the broadcast unfold. But let me say to you, God said, "I'm going to give you a sign." What kind of sign would it be if a young woman had birthed a son? Friend, that happens multiple times every day of the year. God allows women to bear children every hour, probably every minute on planet Earth. Someone is born somewhere. But God said, "I'm going to show you a sign." There would be no sign in a young woman conceiving and bearing a son. But I want to tell you, friend, there's a great sign when you look at the fact that a virgin, a woman who had never known a man, is found with child. And that, my friend, alone is of absolute necessity to make the Lord Jesus Christ a fit sacrifice to be offered for the sins of the world. And he alone is the only person that ever experienced this kind of conception. We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I do want to take this opportunity and wish all of you who listen to the radio a Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year to the glory of our God. Let me also wish a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to the staff and management of all of the radio stations that carry the broadcast. We're all laborers together with God, and I trust that God will use our labor to his glory. As you go through the holiday season, don't forget the reason for the season. Keep Christ in the center of all your Christmas activities. As you do your giving, I trust you'll remember the Harvest Time broadcast. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.